morning. Bring greetings from Cadillac Baptist Church in Cadillac, Michigan. And it's good to be here today on this Sunday, the Lord's Day, and special Sunday in that we think about our mothers today. And I am going to preach a message that is geared towards mothers, mothers of all ages, and it is a subject that is very near and dear to my heart. I very much appreciate godly ladies. I very much appreciate and see the importance of mothers. I see the importance of mothers to raising the next generation of God's people. Brother Larry was bringing out, the government's not going to raise your children for you. They're certainly not going to raise them for the Lord. And so it's very important that you understand the responsibility as parents, not just mothers, but as parents to be instilling in them godly values and those things. But we're going to be looking in the book of Titus chapter 2, but as you're turning there, I'm also going to read in Proverbs 31. Recently preached a series of messages through Proverbs 31, but Proverbs 31 and verse 10, it says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." I mean, first of all, obviously it starts out with the fact that she's very valuable and very rare. I mean, that's the point that's getting across there. Very valuable and very rare. Her price is far above rubies. Who can find a virtuous woman in the day and age in which we live? Oh, how precious she is. How valuable she is the virtuous woman. And so if she was rare, rare in the days that the scriptures were written, how much more rare is she today in the day and age in which we live? When godly values have been lost, when the things of God have just been set aside for the ways of the world, what a treasure is she. Also then in verse 28, "Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her." Is that not what Brother Eaton did? As he got up and he praised his mother, he called her blessed, because of how that she raised him, how that she looked out for him, how she protected him, and that is the kind of mothers and the kind of ladies that we should be striving to be. These are the kind that we should be praising. He says her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Oh, how we ought to praise those ladies who are willing to devote themselves to the things of God, who are willing to be an example to others, who are willing to be an example to other ladies and to their children. And so we want to talk about that a little bit this morning. Let's go to the book of Titus. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. As I was sitting here today thinking, I remember Brother Mark Clark is up as a member of our church there in Cadillac, as most of you know, and he always mentions about when on Mother's Day, he'd say that Brother Titus, on Mother's Day, he would always beat us up on Mother's Day, and then he'd always beat the men up on Mother's Day, and he said on Father's Day, he'd beat us up again on Father's Day. He said he was always beating up on us. But he never picked in the ladies quite so much. But today I'm really going to gear this thought towards you ladies, and your your responsibility before the Lord. But Titus 2, and we'll start there in verse 1. It says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." And let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you once again for your word. We thank you for Home Baptist Church, Lord. We just pray that you would continue to bless her and give her the things that she needs, that you would just give us all the things that we need as we come today and we look to you, we meet with you. Lord, we know that, Father, I know I have a direction in, for the thoughts of the message, but Lord, you know the thoughts of every heart. You know the need of the hour for every person, every individual. Father, I pray that you would speak by your Spirit, that you would take your word and however it pleases you to work in the hearts of the hearers, to give us all the things that we need today. Father, that you would help me and give me the things that I need to bring out your word in a way that is pleasing to you. And Father, we are needy people. I need your help. We all need your help to hear from you today. And we pray for these things and ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So the thought, behavior that is fitting to godly ladies. This chapter here in Titus is all about the things that become or are fitting sound doctrine. We see that in verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And so all the things that follow are talking about this idea of a life. You know, and he addresses different people. But of a life that is becoming, that is fitting of the Word of God, that is fitting of the Bible, that is fitting of your testimony as a child of God, as a Christian. And so we are to speak those things, we are to teach those things, we are to live those things, we are to be an example of those things. And so our life is to be becoming of the Word of God, it is to be fitting to the things of God. Again, in other words, knowing the doctrine of Christ, this is the way that we are to behave. Knowing what the Word of God says, we are to live like it. Not just know it. It doesn't do us any good just to read it, know it, say amen, and leave, and not live it. It needs to apply. We sang that in Sunday school, the B-I-B-L-E. You know, I read and pray and then obey. You know, that's what we're to do with it. Read and pray and then obey. Live it. Take the Word of God and live it. So that's what he's talking about. Speak the things which become sound doctrine. You know, and then he addresses the aged men that they be a certain way, and then he addresses the aged women that they likewise that they be in a certain way in behavior as become with holiness. And so our behavior, our speech, our attitude, our actions, the life that we live should be fitting to the Word of God, to the things of Christ, to the doctrine of Christ. And so again, our behavior speaks volumes upon what we truly believe. We may say one thing and do another, and thereby show what we truly believe. In context, ladies are to be an example of godliness and holiness, and through their example, teach others to do the same. And so, first of all, number one, be a godly example. I mean, that is that not our testimony? Be a godly example. Be a testimony. Be an example of the Word of God. Verse 3 there, the aged women likewise that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. And so the focus is on our behavior, isn't it? We're back in verse 1. Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. So this manner of life should become the sound doctrine. And then in verse 3, it talks about the behavior. The aged women likewise that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. So it should be an example of holiness. Your life should be a testimony, an example of holiness. Listen, we live in a world today that is so far from separation, so far from holiness, so far from being a testimony, from being a light. We need you ladies to be that. We need you to be different, and be separated in every way. But to be an example of holiness. This is what holiness looks like. This is what holiness talks like. This is the attitude of holiness. This is the walk of holiness. This is the talk. And we need to be have that example. But be in behavior as becometh holiness. And be a good example. We want to, again, we notice that it's behavior is the focus. Behavior fitting of holiness. Your behavior should be fitting to the doctrine of God's Word. It should be fitting of those things. One of the main and most effective means that we have of teaching others about sound doctrine is our own example. You know, if you're telling people one thing and you're living another way, it just isn't going to work. It isn't going to fly. They're going to be like, yeah, right. You're just another one of those Christians. You're another one of those hypocrites. You're another one of those people that, you know, oh, yeah, they go to church, they do this, they do that, you know. But then you see in their life that they live just like I do. Listen, it can't work that way. There has to be a difference. There has to be a separation. There has to be a manner in which you conduct yourself, which says to the world, I'm a Christian. I'm following Christ. I desire to please Christ. And that's what it boils down to. We desire to please Christ. We know we're not earning anything with God. We know that all of our standing before God is in Christ. We know that everything that we have, all of our blessings, it's through Christ. And so we're not trying to earn anything. But we love our Lord, and we want to please Him. And that's why we do what we do. And that's why we live the way that we live. And that's that, you know. And so we need to communicate that in our behavior, in every way, in the way that we conduct ourselves in the world. We should be teaching others about the Word of God by living according to it. We've got to show the Word of God. Be a living example. You know, apply the Word of God to your life in those situations. Again, Brother Larry brought out in that song about when you're angry, did you think to pray? You know, be a living example. You know, when that old blood pressure goes up, you know, something just pushes your buttons. That's the time. That's the time to be that example. That's the time to, you know, mothers. Oh boy. What about when your children are just driving you nuts and you can't hardly, you know, take it anymore and you're ready to pop? That's a good time to be an example of Christ likeness to your children. You need to be firm. You need to instruct them. You need to discipline them. But you also need to keep it together. You know, you need to try to keep your cool. And so mothers, I know. Listen, we've got 8 kids. I know that your kids can drive you right up the wall. They can drive you to the point of you know, falling off the edge of your testimony there. I mean, but you need to maintain that and to set that example of you know what that is. It says there in Proverbs, in your tongue is the law of kindness. You know, mothers, that's what your tongue should be. In your tongue is the law of kindness. You know, that should be your speech wherever you're at, ladies. Ladies, don't talk like the world. Don't act like the world. Don't be filled up with the speech of the world. You know, have the in your tongue the law of kindness. Have the, you know, when she openeth her lips, it talks about she openeth her mouth or her lips with wisdom. You know, have the things of God coming from your mouth. Have the wisdom of God and coming from your mouth, and make certain that it's not the things of the world. But it goes on to say there, let's go back to the verse. It says in verse 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers. So there again, it, you know, goes along with our, you know, with our speech, the things that we say. We need to be very careful about repeating something that we're not sure of, about repeating secondhand information. It doesn't take very long for things to get all, you know, twisted around and totally, you know, and not correct and not truthful. And we can become a false accuser simply by passing on some information. And I know, ladies, it's tough, isn't it? That's one of the things ladies just have a little bit of a tough time with, isn't it? They're like, oh boy, I got this information. What am I going to do with this? You know, and it's just hard to keep it all bottled up. But sometimes it's so much better. Just if you're not sure, just don't let it come out of your lips. Keep it in there. If it's not profitable, if nobody needs to know, then just dip your lip, because you know, if it's not something that directly is affecting the person you're talking to, and it's something they need to know, then just zip the lip, because it's just too easy, you know, just to spread things that aren't right, spread rumors and things, and we need to be careful not to be found guilty of that. But not false accusers. The best way not to be guilty of this is not to repeat rumors. Never accuse anyone of something you did not witness firsthand. The Strong's word there, as for false accusers, is diablos, a traducer. Basically, that's a slanderer, especially Satan, false accuser, devil, slanderer. We don't want to be false accusers. We don't want to be in the same category as Satan. He's the slanderer. He's the false accuser. He's the accuser of the brethren. We need to be very careful about the things that we're saying about somebody else. Be very careful about spreading slander, about defaming somebody, about trying to harm somebody's reputation, and even unknowingly doing that by just spreading a rumor, spreading something you heard. So not false accusers. Godly ladies ought not to be that. And the aged women, the more mature Christian ladies, you should set that example for the younger ladies. You know it's in your nature. You know it's in your nature to get a piece of information and want to run with it. So set the example to the younger ladies. Don't do that, younger ladies. Set that example by being that example of what it looks like to become holiness, and behavior is becoming holiness. The next thing we see there is not a drinker. I mean, this is an obvious thing. It goes on to say there, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior is become with holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine. Obviously, I mean, what a kind of a testimony is that? I mean, it's a terrible testimony. Obviously, we've covenanted together, you know, as the Lord's churches, we covenant together not to to abstain from the, you know, to the use of those things. But obviously, this is a terrible testimony. And I run across, you know, people that have a Christian testimony a lot. And why this is such a problem with them, not to drink. They think, well, it says don't be drunk with wine, you know. How close do you want to be to the edge? You know, how close do you want to be to the world? You know, what's it boil down to? You know, and that's the way it is with, that's the way, again, it goes back to the testimony. But that's the way it is with all manner of, you know, that this behavior that becometh holiness. How close do you want to be to the edge? And I know that we teach that ladies ought to dress like ladies. You know, I believe ladies ought to wear dresses. I believe they ought to wear, you know, they ought to dress like a lady. God made them different. But where's the standard? You know, sometimes we draw this line where it should be. Where's the standard of how long a dress should be? Holiness is the standard. That's what I tell my people. Holiness is the standard. Don't go to how close to the world can I be and still be all right with God. That's not the standard. The standard is holiness. The standard is, how near can I be to the Lord? How pleasing can I be to God? You know, and be as far away from the line as possible. See, not as close to the line. And that applies to all manner. You know, that applies to all manner of our life. You know, where's the line? Okay, well, here's the line. Then I don't want to be by the line. I want to be as far away from the line as I can be. You see, there's a difference. That's behavior has become with holiness. You know, we're trying to set an example of this is holy. That's way too close to the edge. Let's stay way over here. You know, to where we're nearest to God. I mean, and you're going to have to draw that line in your heart. You're going to have to know what is the line. Where is that? You know, we all are going to have to give an account to God. You know, where is that line in your heart? Where is the standard in your heart? And so behavior has become with holiness. So holiness is our standard. But going back again to that, you know, this idea of obviously not a drinker. And you know, we can't just stop there. We can't just stop with drinking. What about smoking? What about being addicted to any sort of a drug? What about being addicted to a prescription drug? You know, we need to be careful. Yes, I believe there are times that medicine is very necessary, but I also believe there are times when we can be abused, you know. And so again, if you're going to be set this example of holiness, then you can't be an addict. You know, you can't be addicted to things. You can't be given over to things. You have to be separated to the things of God. And then the next thing there, it says in verse 3, it says, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. And so obviously, we teach the things of God, examples of that. And again, going back to the context is this behavior. So you're setting an example of this. You know, you're setting an example of godliness, this behavior. And so this is your main platform of teaching, is your testimony, is your walk, is the way that you conduct yourself. So teachers of good things, I think that some kinds can get taken out of context. Ladies, you're not preachers. It doesn't matter what the realm is. It doesn't matter if it's the internet, if it's Facebook. You know, you're not preachers. You're to be examples, and you're to teach the younger ladies by your example. And we need to remember that's the scriptural way that God's given. But a teacher of good things, meaning a teacher of what the Bible instructs ladies to be. As we see in verses 4 and 5 there again, what are you to be teaching? What are the good things? Well, verses 4 and 5, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So in other words, ladies are not to get involved in a bunch of doctrinal discussions, but rather they're to teach about being a godly lady, a godly wife, a godly mother, and how to have a godly home and be a godly homemaker. These are the things that are laid out for us here. These are the good things that are being taught about here. Behavior as become with holiness is the subject of your teaching. This is the subject. These are the good things. What does a godly lady look like? That's what you're to be teaching. That's the example. What is it? What is it? And you're to teach that to others, and you're to set that example. So the next thing, that part dealt with the example that we're to set. The next part deals with more of the instruction. What are the things that are to be taught? And so what are you to be teaching? You that are mature ladies in Christ, you know, you that are, and it doesn't really have to mean that, you know, particularly your physical age, but your Christian maturity, really. You know, you that are Christian ladies and mature in these things and love these things and, you know, and want to please the Lord, you're to set an example. And you're to set an example to those that are younger in the faith, whether it be physically younger or whether it just be spiritually younger, but those that are younger, set an example. Set that example to them and teach the younger women what they ought to be. Again, it's so important, so vital that we don't forget these things. Because, listen, these things aren't being taught in the world. You're not going to find these things in the world. You're not going to find this standard that God lays out in His Word for what godly ladies ought to be. And they're not going to get it anywhere else. And so, ladies, you need to love these things. And you need to try with all of your might to set this example for those around you. Let the world see it. Let the world see that you're different and that you're separated. And when they ask you why, you say, because I love Jesus. I love my Lord. I want to please Him. I want to walk with Him. And I want to be near to Him. And you can. It gives you an opportunity to tell them. Tell them why you do things different, why you act different, why you talk different, why you dress different. So they can see that. But we're to teach the younger ladies to be, in verses 4 and 5 there again, it says, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So think about it. What is this verse all about? It's all about the home, isn't it? It's all about how that they are to love and to operate, love their husband, love their children, to operate within their home in a godly manner, to raise up, children for the Lord. It's all about this home environment. And again, we live in a world in which these truths have been thrown out the window. You know, it's looked down on if a lady wants to stay home and raise her children. It's looked down on in the world in which we live today. That's so wrong. That's so the opposite. You know, that's why this subject is so dear to my heart, because it's so important in the world in which we live. Oh, how we need some godly ladies that are willing to say, you know what? I'm not going to follow the world standard. I'm not going to conform to the world standard. I'm going to stay at home. I'm going to raise my children. I'm going to love my children. I'm going to teach my children the things of God. Whatever it takes for me to do that. Whatever sacrifice I have to make. Whatever I have to give up to do that. You know, what are we as parents willing to do for our children? What are we willing to do to rescue them from the generation in which we live in? You know, it is up to parents to hold the things of God and value them in their hearts, and teach those values to our children. If we don't do it, who's going to do it? If we're not willing to separate ourselves from the world and then set that example and then teach that to our children, who's going to teach it? You know, we've got to be willing to do that. We've got to love our children enough. We've got to love our children enough to realize we can't be fatalistic in the approach to raising your children. Did you know that? You can't just be fatalistic in the way that you raise your children. Yeah, we believe in the sovereignty of God. But let me tell you what, we also believe in the responsibility of man. We also believe that we reap what we sow. We also believe that if you give your kids to the world, that you can expect that they're gonna live like the world. The Lord may save them. You know, but it may take a lot. You know, may take a lot longer. They may have to go a long way around before they come back. They may have to go through a lot of hardships, a lot of struggles, a lot of difficulties. You know, we need to understand that you can't be fatalistic to the way that you raise your children. Don't give them to the world and think that you're just going to get them back. You know, at the very least, they're going to be scarred. At the very least, they're going to have baggage. At the very least, they're going to have problems to deal with throughout their life. Even if the Lord does save them, why don't you protect them from that? Why don't you shelter him from that? Why don't you separate him from that? If, you know, to whatever capacity God lays on your heart, you know. Again, you're going to have to draw the line in your heart. Where is it? How are you going to raise your children? How are you going to protect them and preserve them? And we all need to come to that conclusion ourselves. And we all need to come to that place of knowing that this is what God wants me to do for my home and for my children, you know. But don't just take a laxed idea of how to raise your children. Make certain that you have an idea, you know, that you need to be proactive and proactively teaching your children the things of God and directing them in that way. Mothers, that's why your job is so vital. That's why it's so, I'm that's why I love the subject, because, oh, it is so important. It's so important that you as mothers recognize, that you recognize the blessing, the responsibility. You only have them for 18 years or so, maybe less. Boy, that's not a lot of time. Before we know it, they're gone. What did we do with that short amount of time that we had to influence their lives? Oh, mothers, you're so important. You're so important to the lives of your children. The things that you teach them, the things that you do, the example you set goes with them for their life. You know, it's so vital that you understand that, and that you you are deeply convicted about that. It can't just be in one ear and out the other. It can't just be like, oh yeah, I'll be like for a week, you know, and then it fizzles. No, it's a commitment for their life, for the lives of your children. You know, you've got to be committed to them, and you've got to be committed to training them up in the way that they should go. And when they're old, they will not depart from it. We've got to be committed to the next generation. You know, that's moms and dads both. You know, we got to be committed to them. But so these are the central teachings. It's around the home. It's around that, and that's where that teaching is. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. It's talking about the home. To be discreet, chaste keepers at home. That's their realm. That's their operation. That's their headquarters. That's where they operate from. Good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So again, we see that the older ladies are to be more experienced in godliness, and therefore are able to teach and help other ladies. Notice that the younger, less experienced ladies are the ones that we're to teach. The young women, you know, the ones that God has placed in your life. You know, we need to notice that these things are always, you know, in the context of the local church. You know, who are those that you've been placed around, and then obviously out in the workplace, who are those that are around you, you know, and your friends and your family. You know, who are the ones that God has placed in your life. You know, those are the ones that we are obviously to be, you know, to be instructing and teaching. Those ones that God has placed in our lives. When women begin to teach even other women on a larger scale than within their own church, then a potential for problems develop. The scriptural means of doctrinally teaching women is through the local church under the guidance of pastor and husband. And that's what we see. And so, again, keeping it in context. What's the context? You're teaching the next generation, you know, in your church and in your family, in your surroundings. You know, that is your realm of operation. And we need to be careful about, you know, getting out beyond that again, you know. And I'm not going to go into those things, but be careful to understand God's placed people in your life right here. He's placed people in your life in your own church. He's placed people in your life, you know, in the wherever you're out in the world and in your family. Be that example. Be that example that you are to be to them. Let's look in, I guess we'll look a little bit in Ephesians 4 there. Ephesians 4 and verses 11 and 12 there. It says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, I'm sorry, ladies, but he didn't also say, you know, mothers and grandmothers, you know, and ladies, and, you know, they're not in the list, on this particular list. Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And so the doctrinal teaching, you know, for the church body, that comes through the men of the church, that comes through the pastor, and that comes through the, you know, the husbands at home, you know, the scriptures teach. So we need to understand that. You know, don't get this teaching thing out of context. Don't get this teaching good things out of context. The context is younger ladies within your church, within your family, within your surrounding area, you know, teaching them that by your example. Remember, example. Setting that godly example. So, again, remember that. So let's go. Keep going down. In the local church, the younger women are to be taught to be sober. First of all, there, back there in Titus 2. Verse that they may teach the young women to be sober. Now, sober obviously doesn't just have the idea of alcohol. It has the idea of being in a stupor, you know, not being focused, not being serious, you know. And we need to be serious about the things of God. You know, you can't just not think about the things of God and be fatalistic in your approach to all of life. You have to think. You know, you have to apply yourself. You have to ponder and consider and be serious-minded about the things of God. You know, and so the younger ladies are to be taught to be sober, serious-minded, a serious-minded lady, concerned with godliness and not worldliness. Oh, concerned with the things of God and not the things of the world. It's so easy to get distracted. I don't care. I mean, men and women both. I don't care. It's so easy to get distracted by the things of the world and not remain focused on the things of God. We need to be focused on the things of God. Sober-minded, serious-minded. Listen, we've only got so much time to live. We've got so many days, and we don't know how many that is. We've got so much time to serve the Lord on this earth. You know, we don't know how long that is. And it's a lot shorter than we imagine. You know, it's a lot shorter than we think. We think, well, even if we lived, you know, to be 100 years old, that's still short in the scheme of eternity. You know, the Bible talks about redeeming the time because the days are. Use your time wisely. Redeem it. Rescue it from just plain old, you know, the things of the world, and use it for the things of God. But be sober-minded. Be sober-minded in the way that you're raising your children. Be sober-minded in the way that you're ordering your home. And so they're to be taught to be sober. To love their husbands. You know, again, we live in a world where you know, people don't, you know, people just get to the place where they say, well, I don't love this person anymore. I'm done. It's over, you know. But we've got to teach the next generation that to love their husbands. And that obviously goes both ways. We've got to teach them to be loving and committed and devoted. But a loving and helping, devoted wife. The next thing it talks about is to love their husbands, to love their children. To love their children. Be a loving, devoted mother. You know, those are the things that need to be taught. And it is a sad and strange thing to think that we live in a day and age where mothers can not care about their children, you know. But we do. We live in a day and age where mothers just don't care. But we need to teach the next generation of ladies to love your children. Be devoted to your children. Realize that children aren't a burden on your life, that they're not taxing on all the things you really want to do. You know, we can get this idea in our head. Well, I really want to do this, but I have all this burden. Oh, listen, they are your life. They are your blessing. They are your greatest privilege to raise for the Lord. Oh, understand the blessing of your children. Love them, cherish them, raise them up with all of your heart. Direct them to Christ. You know, we need to love our children and understand what a blessing they are. To be discreet, it goes on to say in verse 5, to be discreet. To use judgment and caution, you know, and all that we do would be discretion. Judgment and caution. Use judgment and caution before speaking or acting. Not given to speaking or acting without giving due thought. You know, we need to think about what we say or what we do before we do it. Again, does that not need to be taught to the younger generation? Think before you just act. Think before you say. Think before you do. We get in so much trouble by opening our mouths because of how we feel. You know, I feel this way, and I want you to know about it. You're going to have to deal with all kinds of problems after that happens. You know, think before you speak. Think before you act. Be discreet in the way that you conduct yourself. To be chaste, it says in verse 5, chaste. And there's a great word for today. Pure from sexual immorality, which would include, obviously, conduct, dress, words, etc. We need to be teaching the generation which we live in to be chaste. to be separated from the things of the world. I mean, it's just the immorality in the world today in which we live is just rampant. And the worst part is we can get used to it as Christians. You know, you can get used to it as you go, you know, as you're out in the, you know, out and about, you know, you go to the store and you're going through the checkout line. I mean, whatever. You just get used to it. It's everywhere. It's all around. You get used to the commercials on TV. You get used to the garbage. You know, we've got to remain tender, have a tender conscience toward all the garbage that's in the world today. You know, so that we can teach our children. That's wrong. You know, if we're sitting there and we're letting it come into our house and we don't care about it, you know, if it doesn't bother us, why should it bother them? You know, we've got to remain tender. We've got to remain convicted. We've got to remain bothered by all the wretchedness in the world today. It should bother us, you know, but we get used to it. Yeah, it's everywhere. You know, we get used to it. But for the sake of our children, you know, we've got to instill in them some ideas of holiness, some ideas of separation, some ideas of chastity. Ladies, you need to conduct yourself in a way, and that goes right along with your dress. Why do we, you know, one of the reasons we know that God, you know, made us different. He wants us to be separated as men and women. He wants us to dress differently. But one of the other practical reasons is modesty. You know, he wants you to dress in a way that is not like the world, in a way that is chaste, in a way that is separate, in a way that does not attract the attention, you know, of men, that is how we're to dress. The world does not dress that way. The world does not. You wonder if it ever crossed the minds of people in the world today. You wonder if it ever crosses their mind that they're not even. You couldn't even hardly consider them, you know, clothed. It's just ridiculous. Mothers, set the example. Teach your children the difference between holiness and worldliness. Teach your children the difference. Set the example. Keep their hearts tender to that. Because we live in a world that is just overrun. Don't let your heart get hardened to it. Don't get used to it. I hope it makes you sick still. I hope you hate it. I really do. Because it's, you know, the things that are in the world today are just, we ought not to get used to them, but teach the next generation to be chaste. Teach those ladies to be chaste. Teach those young ladies to dress modestly. I mean, I'm on the subject, so I might as well keep going. If, you know, just because all your skin's covered up doesn't mean you're dressing modestly. You know, if you're dressing with your clothes are too tight, you're not dressing modestly. You know, separated in a way that's not to draw attention to yourself, to your body. That's chaste. You can talk in a way that attracts attention. You can walk in a way that attracts attention. You can conduct yourself. You can dress what would be maybe acceptable and then act in a way that's not chaste. You know, you can be flirty. You can be, you know, you can be with somebody who's not your husband, you know. You can smile and talk and act in a way different, all nicey-nicey, to somebody that's not your husband. That's not chaste, you know. We've got to teach these things to the next generation. Teach this to your children, that we're to be separate, we're to be different in a manner that is becoming a holiness. But be chaste. Pure from sexual immorality is the definition of chaste. Keepers at home. To be discreet, chaste keepers at home. I mean, I can't change what the Bible says there. And that is what the Bible's instruction is for godly ladies, for separated ladies, for it says there, behavior is become with holiness. That's the realm of operation. Chaste keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. But it means that she tends to the needs of her home. In modern terms, to be a stay-at-home mom. In the Strong's word there is a guard, beware, a stayer at home, i.e. Domestically inclined, a good housekeeper, keeper at home, but a guard. I mean, I think that's great. You're guarding, you're watching over, you're protecting the souls of your children. What greater calling is there? And what greater thing is there? I mean, For you ladies, this is what God would have, is for you to understand the value of your home. You know, that's the thing. You see, again, in the world in which we live in, the value of the home has been thrown out the window. You know, we have this idea that a lady who stays at home and raises her children isn't valuable. That's ridiculous. To stay at home and to love your children, to raise them up and train them up in the things of God, there's no greater calling for a lady. No greater calling. You need to understand that. And we need to understand the value. Raise the value in your estimation of the home. It's valuable. Now, I understand. I totally and completely understand that it's not always possible, you know, for a lady to stay at home. I understand sometimes that a lady has to leave the home and get a job. But I also know that if you can, and if it's in your ability, you ought to devote yourself to your home, to your children, you know, to the best of your ability. I totally understand that sometimes it just, you know, for whatever reason, you're a single mom, you know, you got to go out and work. Just the way it is. I understand that. But here's what's laid out for us is this is the best. This is what we should strive for. And this is what we should teach. Even if you can't do it. Even if you can't do it, don't get all bent out of shape and say, well, you know, you just don't understand my life. I do understand. I do understand that there are difficulties. But I also understand that you can say to the next lady, you know what? These are the mistakes I made in my life. And these are the things that I'm reaping. And these are the things that I'm having to deal with. Don't do it the way I did it. I'm stuck in this rut. But don't do it the way I did it. Do it the way the Bible says, because you're going to be a lot more blessed. Your home's going to be blessed. Your children are going to be blessed. You see? I understand that. But the Spirit of God within you should say, yes, I know that that's the way. And you should help other people in that way. And you should say, that's part of one of the things about being a mature Christian lady. You can still say, you know what? I made some mistakes. But I know that this is the way that you'll be blessed. You know? That's the attitude that we should have. Don't be all offended, you know, if for whatever reason your life doesn't work out that way. But do recognize that this is God's way, and that's the way that you'll be blessed, you know, with your home and your family. So we're to teach them to be keepers at home, to be good. Obviously, I mean, the opposite of bad. All these things that we've mentioned, the things that are after the things of God, we're to teach them the things that are good, to be those things. Obedient to their own husbands. Again, there's another idea that seems old-fashioned to the world today, but you know, it's not because the man decided. It's because God gave the order. You know, that's the order of headship. You know, God gave that order, and so we just simply, if we want to please our Lord and we want to obey Him, then we submit to that order. But Ephesians 5, let's look there for a minute. Ephesians 5 and verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. There it is again. I mean, that's the Bible. This is God's way. And so I know I'm probably some of your leaders are sitting out there going, I can't do that. But I guarantee you'll be the happiest if you'll submit to God. First of all, submit to God and His Word, you know, and try to follow after Him. And again, I know. I realize that sometimes there are things that happen in your life, mistakes that were made that you have to live with. But again, your heart should agree and say, I know that's the way. And you should be able to help the next person say, you know what? Don't go the way I did. Go this way. But wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. You know, so we are to, ladies are to submit to their husbands. And it's not just to them. You know, it's to Christ through them. It's to that order that God has given. And it's through, you recognize it through, you know, your husband. We all have authority over us, you know. We all have authority that we submit to. We're all under God. And there's an order of authority. Our children, you know, are under the authority of the parents, you know. And again, there's something that ought to be taught, you know, that to children you are under the authority of your parents. God gave you to them. You know, they are your instructors. They are your spiritual instructors. You need to honor them. You need to obey them, as the scriptures say, you know. And mothers and fathers, you need to teach your children that concept. you know, that they are to respect you, that they are to realize that you're all submitting to God's authority for your life. You know, this is how God would have us order our home. And we are submitting to God's order of our home. The father submits to the order of the home. The mother submits to the order of the home. The children submit to the order of the home. When a home operates in that way, it's a blessed home. I mean, there isn't a home that's more blessed than a home that is ordered after the things of God. But we all have to submit to those things. But and it goes on to say there, and I'm getting near the conclusion here, but it goes on to say there, all these things, this example of the mature Christian ladies to the younger Christian ladies, all these teaching and instruction that she is teaching and instructing and setting the example about, all these things that are lining up with the Word of God, it says there in the last part of verse 5, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. You know, anytime that we live contrary to the Word of God and we have a profession of Christianity, then the Word of God is blasphemed. That's what happens when people look at Christians and say, hey, look at that. Look what they're doing in their life. And yeah, you know. So that's what happens is the Word of God is thought irreverently. It's thought low, a low estimation of God's Word. A disrespectful thoughts toward the things of God. You know, the Word of God is blasphemed by our testimony. So we need to be careful to maintain that testimony. But whenever our lives do not line up with the Bible, as Christians, it gives people opportunity to speak evil of God and His Word. Therefore, godly ladies need to be and act like godly ladies, so God's Word is glorified. So, what's the opposite? You know, if we're not holding to the things of God's Word, it's going to be blasphemy. Well, if we are, you know, we're trying to conform to that. We're trying to our lives line up with that. Well, then the Word of God's going to be glorified, isn't it? And they're going to see the proof of the Word of God in your life, and they're going to say, "Wow, that's real. That's different." You know. And that's what people should see in our lives. Again, all of us as children of God, they should see that in our lives. They should see that the Word of God really affects their life. The Word of God really makes a difference in their life. The Word of God really applies. Well, so here's all these things that apply to godly ladies. You know, these things should apply. These things should they should be a reality in our life. They shouldn't just be things we say. And things we say, you know, yep, that's right. But things that are a reality in our life. There needs to be that behavior. Again, there's, it says, the aged women likewise that they be in behavior, as becoming holiness, becometh holiness. In verse 1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. So there should be a life that lines up with the things of God's Word. This is only some of the things, some of the instruction to godliness, some of the instructions for godly ladies. But, you know, these are some things that we need to, they all will echo. They all will echo the things that are here. They will all line up. Come back to the things that were taught here. But Matthew 6 there, we'll look at one more thought as we conclude. We often apply this, and obviously the first application is to serving the world and basically serving money. But there's a principle there in Matthew 6 and verse 24 there. No man can serve two masters. You can't do it. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. Ladies, you can't serve the world and serve God. You can't be separated to God and act like the world. You have to be different. You know, you can't serve two masters. Don't let society conform you to it. Don't let society conform you to its thoughts, to its images, to the way that society portrays what a woman is. Society is portraying a very wrong picture of what a woman ought to be. You know, let the Word of God conform you to its standard. Conform yourself to the standards of God's Word. Serve Christ. Don't serve the world. No man can serve two masters. Don't try to be both. Don't live a separate, you know, don't live two lives. Don't come to church one way and then leave and go live and act another and dress another way. You know, don't do that. If you come to church and you dress a certain way, then that's how you ought to dress in the world. You know, if you feel like I have to dress this way to fit in at church, you know, That, you know, and then you say, well, but I'm in the world, I dress this way. You know, that doesn't work. That's hypocrisy. You know, you need if you believe that's the way to dress, then dress that way. You know, dress the way that God says. You know, so, but we need to, don't try to serve the world. Don't try to conform to two masters. Don't try to serve two masters, but conform to Christ. It is impossible to be what the world wants you to be and what God wants you to be. I mean, that's an impossibility. Truly godly ladies are a rare treasure in the day in which we live. How much more then do we need to be examples of true godliness to a world that has forgotten what it looks like? Oh, listen, the world's forgotten what it looks like. And so you need to set the example and be reminders of the world. This is what it looks like. Be a godly lady to glorify your Lord. And be a godly lady because your husband, your children, other ladies, and the world need you to be. And I can't stress it enough. Oh, the world needs you to be this kind of a lady. The world needs you to be separated and different and an example of what does a Christian lady look like? What does a Christian lady act like? How does a Christian lady conduct herself? How does she talk? What are the values in her life? We need to have a generation that understands this, and we need to be teaching that to the next generation. Your price most certainly is far above rubies, and you are a rare treasure in the world in which we live. But I'm going to stop with that, and we'll ask Brother Larry to come and dismiss us.